Chapter 18. Mark's Escape. Friday night. Shortly before Doreen's last visit of the night, Mark put on his sweater and ran around his room as fast as possible. When he heard the key in the door, he immediately fell to the floor. Seeing his closed eyes, his fast breathing, and the sweat on his shirt, Doreen shouted to a guard, "Call an ambulance!" As the paramedics brought Mark's stretcher into the noisy, crowded emergency room, a nurse shouted from across the room, "Put him there! Someone will examine him soon!" With many very sick patients, the doctors and nurses paid no attention to Mark. Shortly before midnight, he got off the stretcher and walked out of the room. Nobody saw him. Half asleep when the phone rang, Reggie was surprised to hear Mark's voice. "It's late," she said. "Is something wrong?" "I've escaped," Mark said. Reggie suddenly became more alert. "Where are you?" she asked, shocked. "In the hospital parking lot, at the payphone," said Mark. "I was taken by ambulance to the emergency room, and then I walked here." "Why were you taken to the emergency room?" Reggie asked nervously. "I pretended to be sick," Mark said. "Will you come and get me? I'll explain everything then."
"I'll come immediately," Reggie said.
"Just drive slowly around the parking lot and I'll find you," said Mark. Reggie quickly decided not to go for Mark in her own car. The police and the FBI would be looking for it the moment Mark was reported missing. "I'll be in Clint's car," Reggie said. "It's a black Honda. And I'll call your mother."
"No, don't. I'm going to do that now," Mark said.
When Mark heard his mother's voice, he said,
"Don't worry when you hear that I'm missing. I'm okay. I'll call you later."
Mark put the phone down before Diane could respond and walked towards the parking lot. Reggie managed to get into her own car and drive away before the FBI agents near her house saw her leave. By the time they went after her, Reggie's car had disappeared. After making sure that nobody was following her, she parked her car a few streets away from Clint's apartment and walked the rest of the way. She had called him before leaving home and explained the situation. "I hope you know what you're doing," he said as he gave her his car keys.
"I'm not sure I do," Reggie said, "but thanks for the car. I'll call you later."
About 15 minutes later, she entered the hospital parking lot and drove through it slowly. Suddenly, the passenger door opened and Mark jumped in.
"Isn't this just like a movie?" he said, laughing nervously.
"No, it's real life," Reggie said angrily. "It's almost 1 in the morning and you could be in serious trouble. I'm taking you back to the detention centre right now."
"Take me to New Orleans instead," Mark said.
"What?" Reggie exclaimed, shocked.
"Why?"
"I want to find out if Romy told me the truth," said Mark.
"But why?" Reggie asked. "If the body's there, I don't want the FBI to know about it until my mum, Ricky, and I are on a plane to Phoenix. If the body's not there, I can tell the truth without going into the witness protection program, because the mafia won't care," Mark explained.
"And you're sure you know where the body is?" Reggie asked.
"Yeah, it's buried in Romy's garage under a boat," Mark answered.
Reggie quickly drove to the side of the road and stopped.
"The senator's body is buried in Clifford's garage under a boat?" she asked incredulously.
"That's what Romy told me," Mark said. "So can we go to New Orleans?"
"It's a crazy idea," said Reggie, starting to drive again.
She was silent for several minutes, thinking about the situation. She understood Mark's logic, although she wasn't sure that his plan was either clever or safe.
Finally, she said, "I can't believe I'm saying this, but let's go."